So I want to start today's message off with some interaction, okay? So that we can kind of visually see where we stand on three really important questions, all right? So let your heart rate spike for a minute, so let your blood pressure go up, because I'm going to ask you three questions, and based on your answer to those three questions, I'm going to invite you to move. Does that sound good? Does this sound like something everybody wants to play a part of? Fantastic. Good. So the first question, okay? So get yourselves ready, because this has four possible answers, okay? We have four corners of our room. So what I'm going to ask you to do is that the question or the answer that you identify most with, this isn't like an exclusive thing, but the answer that you identify most closely with, I'm going to invite you to move to that corner. Everybody understand? All right, so here we go. First question. What? Okay, good. Thanks. I assumed that you were in because this train is going. It has left the station. Are you ready? Are you ready? Aaron, listen, okay? So, four options here. Which is the only real kind of pizza to eat? Cheese only, over in that corner, okay? Veggies, over in that corner. Like, I'd prefer vegetables on my pizza. There we go. Meat people right down there, and then pineapple. Okay, whoa, there's a lot of shade being thrown to pineapple. Oh gosh. Okay, so cheese, veggie over there, meat, wow, all right. Sarah, yes. Oh, look at you guys. Look at you guys. All right. So by the way it shakes out, I hope that you three categories, that nobody is like a super like supporter of PETA, because we have a lot of meat eaters, which is beautiful. Okay, so there we go. So good. Are you ready for question two? No. Be decisive. No. That's not the way it is, right? After my like 15-minute speech about how we need to live in the gray, I'm saying this is a black and white issue, okay? And so you're over there. Now, this actually I think is the most contentious one, okay? So if you had, so this is gonna be, so if you, anyway, we'll go for it. Okay, if you had a superpower, okay? Now look, these are your only two options. If in your group, elemental control would be your pick, move towards that back wall of your, like stay within your kind of quadrant, okay? So we're staying in our quadrant, but then separate yourselves into that quadrant of elemental control, or closer to the stage is telepathy, okay? So elemental control, like Storm from the X-Men, Thor would be another one. What's another one? Come on. But elemental. Oh my gosh. Okay, Chloe says Captain Planet. Good. And then like Professor X, Jean Grey for telepathy. So go ahead and move yourselves on that. Just as a side note, while you think about those things, so stay within your quadrants. Stay within your quadrants. No, not telekinesis. All right, so now. Last question. Which just as a side note, as a list of top 20 superpowers that people wish they had, these were the top two, which I think is absolute garbage. But anyway, Listen. We're trying to get back to Jesus here. We can have this conversation after that. All right, finally, the third question. So then break off into another kind of set, beach or mountains. So then if we did in your quadrant, if you did like our elemental control, telepathy, then go left or right as far as within that original quadrant, beach off to your right. And left is mountains. Yeah. Are you? Mountains are over there. Beach is this direction. Okay. Fantastic. All right, so right now what we've done with three questions, we took you all in one kind of clump in your worship seats, and we have then divided just by three questions. And it was 1-4 kind of possibilities, and then two possibilities. We've divided you into 16ths, essentially. Isn't that kind of crazy, though? Like, with three questions, now we can find 16 different kind of points of view for life that we have found. Some of you may be standing alone and feeling kind of lonely because you answered elemental power incorrectly, right? Pineapple people were already knowing that they were underdogs, okay? However, because they're lying so that they have a partner, right? So, Sarah, that groan was like, I know, it's true. I don't care about my superpower. I just want friends. So within three questions, though, we've now made a possibility, maybe not all, but a possibility of 16 different answers. And so as we talk today about this restoration, this gift of restoration, we're going to try something. We're going to try to say, okay, so if we kind of expand our minds a little bit, we're going to hopefully bring restoration to some of these groups, okay? So here we go. So if this kind of strikes true with you, you're going to move kind of one step closer back to where you were. So like mountains and beaches are going to consolidate back to where they were. Make sense? Okay, so if you agree that in 2019, I will support through word and deed that everyone should have clean water, move back to where you were and one. So beaches and mountains no longer exist. You are back with one group of folks. Does that make sense? There we go. Okay. Yeah. So kind of go back over towards that previous spot. Okay. Second question is, in 2019, I believe that no one should starve, right? So that everyone should have enough food. So consolidate back into, now you should be back into your four quadrants after this one, right? So now we're back to pizza toppings. Okay. Oh my gosh. Jeez. All right. Third question. And this time, if you're moving, I'm not saying you have to move, but if you're moving, go and sit back down in your original spots and we'll continue on. Okay. But in 2019, I believe that everyone should have a safe place to call home. Fantastic. So, Sondra, you just weren't paying attention. Oh man, I don't. Good. Right? So as we wrap up this Finding Your Christmas Spirit series, we've been kind of a lot of places. We've done each week, we've kind of unwrapped another element or another gift of the Christmas spirit, knowing that we, you know, first off, we started off with this understanding that we have been created in the image of God. And so part of that means that we were created to create, that this gift of creativity that we see throughout the creation story is something that should be cherished. And that there's this kind of self-doubt, there's this anxiety that comes along with that broken relationship with God that we call sin, that then brings shame to kind of into our psyche or this isn't going to be good enough. And so sometimes our hearts are hardened to that gift of creativity, and that then we find liberation in God and living into that image of God that we've been created to be those people that we've been called to be. Next, we talked about faith and the way that with faith we can take risks on behalf of God and on behalf of the people that we've been made to be, because there is gift and acceptance in knowing that we may not know where that next foot might land, but if we're taking that next faithful step, it'll be honored and that we can give thanks. Third is hospitality, that God has set forth this table that is wide enough for absolutely everyone. God has done all the hard work. God has done the place setting and the preparation. And so it's our job to be the heralds who say through word and deed and the way that we prepare ourselves that there is a space for you here, no matter your past circle, or no matter your past struggles, or your past baggage, or your current circumstances, or your anxiety about the future, that there is a place for you here. And then last Sunday, we talked about the gift of surprise, like when the angels came to this little girl, Mary, and said, you're going to be the one who bears God, that if we are willing to look and look particularly around the margins, that God acts and moves with those people who are desperate for a miracle. And in that surprise, we find the Christmas spirit, that anything is possible with God. And then on Christmas Eve, we talked about the gift of presence and about the way that the light of the world came into this space to make way and to make ready a new way. And man, like, we have God dwelling in this space, and what a gift that is. And so today we kind of continue that conversation, that if the light of the world has come into this world, not just, you know, about 2,000 years ago, and the light came, it was never turned off. And it's that light perpetually shines, and it doesn't shine just for the month of December. It's not just here for a 12th of the year, but that light continues to shine and will continue to shine into the future in a way that then illuminates where we are broken sometimes, and that's hard, but also then illuminates the potential for the kingdom of God in breaking into the places where we are today. And so as it continues to shine, man, when God entered into the world, when Jesus entered into the world, everything changed from that point on. And so when we see that, when we live, when we have this kind of living, breathing God who is there in the midst of everything else, there is also hope in all of those circumstances. So in a year that's been articulated with so much tension and friction and division, and we recognize that we can ask just a few questions and we can really kind of draw lines around, you know, I mean, if those were the most important questions, we could see how division can so easily happen, or how we make up these false barriers or these boundaries about who's in and who's out, that with the light we can kind of see that God is doing something in all circumstances that brings about hope, peace, love, and joy. And so oftentimes what we think of is we have to either be this or that. You're either right or you're wrong, either this or that, either, you know, Jesus was fully human or fully divine. And what we have is a God who sees both and. That there is a God, that we follow a God, that we have a God who has this theology of abundance, which means that there isn't scarcity of grace, but like on Christmas Eve, when we light one candle from another, the first one doesn't dim, but that it magnifies the way that God's grace then, that God's light is shined into the world. And that's a pretty powerful thing, that as we come together, some of those barriers and boundaries are erased. And so that when we think about that, when we think about the promise of the kingdom that is to come, when we think about the ways that God is acting and moving to take away some of the brokenness and kind of imbibe hope into our community, there is a powerful thing that happens. And that if we think about, you know, even those questions that we asked up at the top, if we have a both and God, it's not a question of beach or mountains, right? Because if everybody was at the mountains would kind of lose some of their appeal, right? At least for me, some of the mountain time is that there's not a billion people there. And thank God that's the truth, because when you're at the beach and there are 1,000 people there, right? Think about if everybody from the mountains was there too, right? It's not either or, but it's both and. It's not superpowers of elemental manipulation or telepathy. Like, that's why you have the Justice League, right? And they're not all telepaths, or they're not all, you know, the Flash, because the Flash gets there real fast, but what's he gonna do, right? What? He's got no backup, right, Barry? You know? And so when we think about that, it's not an either or, but it's a both and that celebrating that diversity of where we are and whose we are, we can then come together and not kind of compare our superpowers. Because some of you may not be able to control the elements. Maybe you can, and I just don't know it, because you're afraid that you'll make me have you change the weather for church days or something. But it's not a comparison of who's better or who's worse. It's what can we do together? And then we think about pizza, man. And I don't know about you, but in our family, I mean, it's just about like everybody has their own, like we would be, the four of us would be divided, except the cheese only would be like gluten-free, dairy-free cheese so that my wife could eat it, right? So we are a pizza disaster at our house. But the good news is fractions, right? So you could have half of one or half of the other, quarters or whatever. Like, and even in the apps, you can do that now. Beautiful, right? It's a both and. And so that's the way that the kingdom of God is that it's a celebration of all those gifts and all the diversity and coming together and going, look at this beautiful mosaic that we've been able to create. Look, remember there's enough room at the table for everybody, but how much better is that conversation when the light is shining and we all see one another for who we are and have gift and blessing and can, you know, even when there's friction and tension, what that does is that sharpens our discipleship in a way that allows us to be closer to the one that calls us to the table. And even better than all of that, when we talk about this gift of restoration, right, is that God both allows for this gift that we are redeemed, we have been forgiven, but also then we have marching orders, that God is a God of first names. And what that means is that individually, God sends us out so that we might be part of this kingdom building in a way that, you know, creation is not being thrown away, but like Robert read for us today, in that passage, it's that there is something being new, made new, that I am making something new, that the old isn't being thrown away, but that there is hope and grace and peace and potential in these things that are for now broken, but that we can see the inbreaking of the kingdom through the ways that we follow God. Through the way that when we come to the communion table, what we talk about is that there's this foretaste of heaven, that there's this thin place, as the Celtic Christian said, where heaven and earth come and almost meet, and that we can catch a glimpse of the beauty of what God's light brings into this world. How cool is that? And then we're invited in to participate in bringing about that restoration of the kingdom. And so this critical gift of restoration is so important. But one of those tools, so when we ask our so what question, when it says, okay, so we heard this message, we divided, we came together. And so when we go out then tomorrow on Monday, on New Year's Eve, and say, okay, so I'm an agent of restoration. What does that mean? I think that one of the tools that we leave here with is the realization that we need to see the sacred worth in the other person. And so what came through a social media feed of mine last week or so was this beautiful animation that I thought, and I've seen kind of church skits about it before and things like that. We're gonna pause it kind of halfway through, but think about the ways in which the character here is an agent of restoration. So Paul, can you play that clip for us? Okay, we're gonna pause it right there. Now, if you see that, and like the skits that I saw when I was in youth group back in the day, right? Who's the character that's taking the hurt and pain away? There we go, right? It's one of those two standard church answers, either Jesus or teamwork, right? And so it's Jesus, you know, and that's beautiful. And that's what some of those skits, there was a skit called, I think it was called The Rag Man or something, where it was the same type of thing, where this character came and took the pain and suffering upon himself. Then it ended at the cross. But up until this point, I was kind of on board. But then what happened was there was something that kind of shifted a little bit that we'll get to in a minute. But that character, what happened with that character is that he saw the sacred worth in every single person, right? Like there was some kind of redemptive work that was happening, even with the child that lost the balloon or the relationship strife or the one who didn't see the sacred worth in themselves. And he's like, man, hop down, because there is still hope. Like the worst thing is never the last thing. And so then taking upon himself that kind of restorative way that we find it, I think that when we think about that sacred worth, I think we need to think kind of in three different ways. We need to see the sacred worth first and foremost in ourselves. And oftentimes that doesn't happen. Secondly, we need to see the sacred worth in other people, that they, just like us, have been made in the image of God. And so they are those people who are worthy to be respected and loved and everything else. And then we need to find that sacred worth in the other who is unnamed, in the empty chair, in the way that folks kind of don't know that they are known by God. And so how do we then become agents of restoration and share that gift and grace with other people? And so as we do that, or if we don't have all three of those together, if we don't have sacred worth in ourselves, what happens is that we kind of become the doormat, right? We're always the one who's caring for somebody else, and that esteem drops. If we don't have that sacred worth for other people, they just become a means to an end, and we don't see them as people, but we see them as commodity. And then thirdly, if we don't see a gift in that empty chair, we become a church who is more of a Pharisee factory of feeling like we are good about ourselves than what God is up to and doing in the midst of us and renewing. And so we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice if we're going to be, or if we're going to take up that gift of restoration or not. So I want to end with a quote from the founder of Methodism, John Wesley, who said this. He said, "I'm not afraid that the people called Methodists should ever cease to exist, either in Europe, because that's where it started, or in America, but I am afraid at least that they should exist only as a dead sect, having the form of religion without the power." Essentially, what he's saying is they would meet together and they would not honor that sacred worth in that call to be restorative properties or powers in this world. And so, I pray that our answer is, yes, I'm going to take up that gift of restoration. I'm going to be agent of restoration because restoration is exponential. Now, I'm going to have this final clip, this last little bit of that story, because I think that for me, in encountering this type of story before, it was Jesus that healed everybody, and then it all ended up in the cross, which is absolutely true, but I think it also misses that exponential gift of restoration. And so, Paul, can you already do it? Right? So he comes, he encounters then the dog that's waiting at home going, "Hey man," and it's not a perfect example because I think that the dog longing for that connection is one thing, but that then all of a sudden it goes from Jesus was that restorative power to, wait a minute, that's us. Like our call to be the restorative power is to go and every single person that we encounter, man, we have an opportunity to breathe life and restoration and wholeness back into who they are so they can come to know whose they are. But then we can go back with confidence and knowing every single day that we can spend time with God, that we can be people that God has called us to be and then be restored by the gift that God has given us. How cool is that, right? And that God is doing God's work, but also God is doing God's work through us in a way that means that we're not just sending somebody out going, "Well, you're the professional Christian. You're the person that's got it all figured out. So you go and do and heal." It's that every single one of us leaves with that gift of restoration, willing to pick it up saying, "I can be that gift of restoration today. And then tonight I can go back and I can give God thanks for the grace that covers me and that covers them. And that I can be renewed and restored so that I can go make a difference tomorrow." How awesome is that gift that we get to bring that kingdom here and now? Let's have a word of prayer. God of grace, allow us to see our roles as the ones who are able to help bring healing and wholeness, knowing that we can come back to that living water daily, the kingdom, and that the kingdom will shine through us. God, allow your light to continue to shine as we start to go from this place, knowing that we are the light of the world, that we are reflecting your glory and your grace. God, we give you thanks for that way in which you make a place for us and that goal for us to then welcome others in as we bring about your kingdom. Amen. Let's stand and sing our final song.